Psalm 48. I believe I have something enjoyable tonight. Every time that I think I have a favorite scripture, I turn the page and find something equally as glorious. And that's what this is. This is equally as glorious to whatever we think is glorious in the scripture. This is equally as glorious. I asked our brother to read Psalm 87 for our scripture reading because it talked about the gates of Zion. It said, "Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God." That's what he read. Glorious things are spoken of thee. That's what we're going to look at tonight. The beautiful city of God. The beautiful city of God. Zion is her name. Look here at verse 1. Psalm 48, verse 1. It says, "Great is the Lord." Let's start right there. That's a good place to start. Great is the Lord. Greatness belongs to one. We're going to look at, heaven, eternity, the city of God, New Jerusalem, Zion. It starts right here. Greatness belongs to one. You want to talk about the mindset of the city of God. That's it. Greatness belongs to one and only one. Only one. That's what every soul there is going to say. That's what every soul there is going to feel, believe, promote. Greatness belongs to one. Only one. The Lord. Great is He. Great is He. Greatness belongs to nothing else and no one else. Only to the Lord. Verse 1 says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised." Worthy to be praised. I love the definition of the word greatly. When it says greatly to be praised, I love the definition of that word. It means exceedingly much. Exceedingly much. Not just much, but exceedingly much. When we were in Lexington, Kentucky at the conference here recently, I told them the illustration of when Isabella was about 3 years old, something like that, and old enough to where she realized, it dawned on her that she could start serving herself at the dinner table. And we would sit down and she'd grab a spoon in a bowl, and pull out a glob of food this big. And we were constantly saying, hold on, that's too much. That's too much. Put that back. Put it down. It's too much. You got too much. And she'd grab something else, Wait, that's too much. And that went on for a while. And finally, one time we sat down and she held her plate up next to something and we were serving her. And she said, "I want too much. That's how much I want. I want too much." Well, that's how it is when it comes to praising our God. He's worthy of exceedingly much. Not just much, but exceedingly much. Verse 1 says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness." This city of our God is sitting on a mountain. That means it's sitting on a rock. And that rock is Christ. That mountain of God's holiness is Christ. Christ Himself. It is founded on Christ Himself. The law sat on Mount Sinai. The law was founded on Mount Sinai. Zion was founded on Mount Calvary. The doing, the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, the beautiful city of God. That's what it's called, the beautiful city of God. I can't imagine what that city's going to look like. I think Kingsport is pretty beautiful. I think it has beautiful areas, and there are other places in the world, but I can't imagine what it's going to look like. The beautiful city of God, standing on the rock that is higher than her. The mountain of God's holiness. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. What a beautiful and glorious thing that is. What a glorious thought that is. Verse 1 says, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness, beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great King. God is known in her palaces for a refuge." This beautiful place, it's situated so beautifully. It's the joy of the whole earth. It's the only joy on earth that there is. David said, "I would have fainted. I just could not do this." Do what, David? Life on this earth. I couldn't do this unless it were that I might behold the Lord's glory in the land of the living. I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. If I didn't have hope of a glorious city to come. It's the city of the great King, verse 2 says. Jesus Christ Himself. Not only is Zion the city of God's people, it's the very city of God Himself. Jesus Christ, the great King. God lives there. God actually lives there. Right now, we think of God being in some very far away place. We know that where two or three are gathered, He's among us. We know that He lives within His people. But when we think of God, we think of Him in a very far away place, in a place that's not on this earth or anywhere near this planet at all. Not just not in the same city, not just not in the same country, not anywhere near this planet. Well, in Zion, in the eternal city of Zion, God lives in the same place as His people. Verse 2, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great King. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. It's a refuge for God's people. It's a place of safety and comfort and rest for God's people. Why? Because God is there. God is there. God is literally, physically right there. I would love to say that if the Lord our God was sitting in this room with us, there would be nothing we would worry about. But the reason I won't say that is because this flesh is so sinful, we would do the same thing the apostles did. But once this sin is removed, all of our faith, all of our hope, all of our trust will be in that man. I will have nothing to fear. Thou art with me. God is literally, physically right there. Verse 4 says, "For lo, the kings," lowercase k, "the kings were assembled They passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. The prophet Jeremiah said, "Is it nothing to all you that pass by? Is it nothing?" The enemies of our God, the enemies of the great King, they have no desire for the things of God, none whatsoever. No desire for the city of God other than to see it destroyed. They rage against it. They rage against Him. Look with me at Psalm 2. Psalm 2, verse 1 says, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth," those who see themselves as being mighty and rulers of this earth, "they set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, 'Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us.' He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision." He'll make a mockery out of them. "Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, 'Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him." He that sits in the heavens will laugh. He's the only one that will be standing at the end. He's the only one. And I love knowing that. I love knowing that that God right there is our God. Look with me at Psalm 46. Psalm 46, verse 1. "God is our strength. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her," and that right early. I love this. I love this so much. Verse 6, "The heathen raged," and that's what I see out in the world, a bunch of heathens raging. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, He uttered His voice, the earth melted. That's how it's going to go. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations He hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. What that means is He wins. That's what it means. He wins. Verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Amen and amen. That's a good psalm. Now look back at Psalm 48, verse 6. "Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail. Thou breakest the ships of Tarshish with an east wind." The battle was his, the victory was his, the security is ours. Now listen to verses 8 to 14 as being our first moments in the city. Okay, there's going to come a point when it's going to be our turn to step into the city. And, all of a sudden, here we are down here trudging through. All of a sudden, we will be not. All of a sudden, we'll just be not. Not here. Our life on earth is done. Our struggle with sin is done. Our salvation is secure in the blood of Christ. At His appointed time, He comes for us and He carries us home. All right, and these are our first moments in glory. First moments of being in the eternal city, our home. Look at verse 8. "As we have heard, so have we seen." That's exactly what we're going to say the moment we get there. As we heard with our ears and believed with our hearts, with our own eyes, we're now seeing it. Eye hadn't seen, ear hadn't heard, heart hadn't believed. But as it was said, as it was told to us, here it is, we see it. Verse 8, "As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord," the city of the Lord of hosts, "in the city of our God, God will establish it forever. What was promised, this is what it is." I've asked you this before, but I'm going to ask it to you again. Do you ever have shameful moments, lacking in faith, where you say, "Is all of this real?" You ever have those moments? You ever have those shameful moments where you say, "Wait a minute, man dies." You know, Job asked this question. Okay, hold on. Man dies. Is there really something after life on this earth? Or does he just die like a plant or an animal? Is all of this real? I'm telling, God is telling all of us in that moment, we're going to say, there it is. Just like He said it would be. As He said, that's exactly how it is. This is exactly what it will be forever. And it's exceedingly much more than we could have ever imagined. Verse 9, He said, "We have thought of Thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of Thy temple." We gathered in Your temple, in Your house, and we thought about Your loving kindness. We thought on these things. Now we see it. Now we see Him. We thought on the Lamb slain. We've thought on the love and kindness of God towards sinners through the Lamb slain. We thought on seeing Him in the midst of the throne, in the midst of the temple. We envisioned that. Now we see Him as He is in all of His glory. Verse 10, "According to Thy name, O God, so is Thy praise unto the ends of the earth, Thy right hand is full of righteousness. According to your name, what's his name? Savior. Call his name Savior. Call his name Jesus. He'll save his people from their sin. According to your name, you are worthy to be praised. Lord, I praised you when I just envisioned the lamb slain. I praised you when I saw you through a glass darkly. Oh, I'm praising you now. You're worthy to be praised now. You're the Savior. Thy right hand, which is Christ Himself, is full of righteousness. You're so full of righteousness. Can you imagine what it's going to be like to see righteousness? If you want to see sin, look at me. If you're curious what sin looks like, just look at me. Everywhere we look right now on this earth, all we see is sin and the effects of sin. That's what everything is. In that day, in that city, everywhere that we look, we will see righteousness and the effects of righteousness. And that's all we'll ever see. Verse 11 says, "Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments." Lord, your judgments according to the law, your judgments according to righteousness and holiness, your judgments on sin and death and hell for the sake of your people, your judgments on the cross. Through the cross, by the cross, in the cross, because of the cross. It's because of those judgments that we get to be here. It's because of your holy judgments that we get to be here. Verse 12 says, "Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof." Won't that be enjoyable? Go ahead, walk around. That will be glory for me. Friends will be there I have loved long ago. You know, they'll welcome us in. Go ahead, walk around. Look around. Verse 12, "Walk about Zion and go round about her, tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generation following." Look at the towers. Look at the walls. What will we see? Turn over to Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26, verse 1. "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks." Walk around, look at all our walls. Look at all the bulwarks. What do we see? Salvation. Salvation. I see salvation. Everywhere I look, I just see salvation. Verse 2, "Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in." Righteous in Christ, keeping the truth only in Christ. Verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee." I had a conversation after the message this morning with a brother, and we were talking about the fact that if our minds can be stayed on Jehovah, if our minds can be fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ, everything's okay. Everything's okay. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. Verse 4, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. It's nothing but perfect peace in that city. Because everywhere you look is salvation and strength. That's all you see. Turn over to Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60, verse 14. The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee. They're going to bow. And all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet. And they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles, and shalt suck the breast of kings, and shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior, and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. For brass will I bring gold, and for iron I will bring silver, and for wood brass, and for stones iron. I will also make thy officers peace, and thine exactors righteousness. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation, and thy gates praise. The sun shall no more be thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. The sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. How glorious is that? Go back to Psalm 48. Verse 11, it says, Let Mount Zion rejoice, let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion and go round about her, tell the towers thereof, mark ye well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. He will be our guide even unto death. When will that be? When will death come to the citizens of that city? Never. Never. They all died in Christ once, never to die again. Never again. So you know what that means? That means this God will be our God forever. Period. Death is not a possibility. So the end of his reign is not a possibility. The end of his reign over us, that will never come. That cannot ever come. This God, the God, is our God forever. Let all the city rejoice. Amen.